Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan. I wasn't able to get my online sermon recorded Saturday. I was out of town, and I was out of town preaching and all my notes and stuff. So they were at the house, and so. I'll be doing it tonight, and it's Monday. That for me is the beginning of the work week. As you guys out there, you know how Mondays can get. They can get pretty crazy, right? But I survived, and tomorrow's Tuesday, so that's like almost Friday, right? But what I've been doing in the last four sermons is going over the spiritual armor that children of God have and that we should use in these times where there's chaos all about us, there's darkness surrounding us. It's increasing, intensifying every day, every week, every month. And the thing, brothers and sisters, it's going to intensify. It's going to intensify all the way up to the point to when Jesus comes back for us, the rapture, right? So it's important to cling on to scriptures, especially spiritual warfare scriptures, to help us in those times when we're in intense battle. And it's a battle every day if you're out there truly living a life separate from this world. You're truly shining for Christ. There'll be points in your life you will be tested and tried. God puts us through trials and temptations. He's growing us through these, and he wants us to cling to the armor and become warriors for him, and to be able to handle through the Holy Spirit that lives inside us, and all the tools, all the weapons that he gives us to counter the devil in every way that he can come at us. So what I've been going over is the spiritual armor, about spiritual warfare. The first sermon was if you're just following me now, if you go up to the invisible war, and then you just work your way down, it'll map out the progression of this sermon series. And what I've been doing, I've been reading Ephesians 6 and 10 through 18 every time, and then tonight we'll be into talking about the feet that shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So our scripture reading for during this series sermon is Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, and that will be consistent until the very end. So, if you guys will bow with me, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, just thanking you for the weekend and getting us through another work day, Lord. We just give you the praise and honor. We lay our hearts, our minds at your feet, Lord, and just cling to you. Know that the true strength is in you, Lord, not us. To cling to you through the battles of everyday life, the storms that can rock us to the point we just don't know what to do. We're just laying there. God, I just want to pray, Lord, over our nation, Lord, in this time of chaos and hate and confusion. As the darkness increases and engulfs our nation, Pray, Lord, just let our light shine in the darkness. Let us come out and be separate from the wickedness that's about us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you be with me tonight as I give your word to whoever that needs to hear it. I pray that their hearts and their minds takes it in, takes it into their heart, and it gives them strength to go out there and to wage war against the enemy and to win souls for Jesus. Because they're losing a lot every day to the enemy. They're dying and they're going to hell, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you just raise up soldiers to go out into the world and fight that good fight, to wage that good warfare against the enemy. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. So our scripture reading is Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayers, supplications, in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Now the piece of armor that we're talking about tonight is feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And when Paul is talking here and he's speaking of the feet that is shod, it's important to know that he's trying to make these references in his time that his audience would pick up on it. A good illustration is always wonderful when your audience can pick it up and see it. And what I'll do is give a little history background, what he's talking about here. He's talking about, when he says shod with your feet, he's talking about the Roman sandals. They were strapped up to the knee and tightly fastened to a soldier's leg. Now, the internet can be a wonderful thing and it can be also a very bad thing. But if you look at Roman sandals, you would get a very good picture of what they look like. The soles had knots. Sometimes nails were protruding from them. Of course, this was a... think of a athlete cleats. If you're familiar with baseball and you're seeing a pair of shoes that has kind of like nails protruding from the bottom, that's for a grip to where they can run and they can hold their ground. An interesting fact, though, I don't know if you guys are really familiar with Alexander the Great, but he is known to, it's believed that he invented these, or at least he championed them. He gave credit for many of the Greek army impressive victories to the firm footing in his forces, and this is so. When we look at this, the shoes, and I'll say shoes, cleats, when you're in battle, you need something that you can firmly, when you stop and you stand and you won't move, you need something that is firmly in place that keeps your balance where you won't literally fall down or blow away, right? So when we look at this, and in with our, you know, our illustrations today with that, if you look at athletes and I was talking about the baseball players, they have cleats, and if you do a lot of running, and I jog, or if you do hiking or mountain climbing, and good shoes are good to have, especially if you're rock climbing, because when you're climbing the rock, you want something that has a grip when you, and your feet won't slip, because if it slip, you may fall off that ledge because your feet are not firmly gripped. And this is very important, because Paul's saying here that your feet, Sean, that is shoes with the preparation, that's the preparation of the gospel of peace. He said, prepare yourself by having your feet placed in the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. You know, this world, when we look at it from a, you know, look around and you cut CNN on, or you, the news network, and you see all this chaos about us. And it's disheartening. And Paul's speaking peace here. You know, I was looking at this and I was thinking, you know, and a good illustration. This is always a good illustration, comes straight from the Bible, right? And let's see. And I was thinking, let's see, it's Mark. Mark. Yeah, Mark 4. Yeah, Mark 4, 35 through 41. That's Mark 4, 35 through 41. And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over the other side. And when they have sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And they're talking about Jesus here. And there was also with them other little ships. And this is Jesus and disciples. They're in this ship. And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And that's meaning the waves were so aggressive, and the boat, if you look at the boats that are believed to have been used back in those times, they weren't very big. They were about maybe as wide as a bass boat, maybe, but they, and about as long as a delivery truck. They were not very, so they're taking in water here. And if you can really think of it, just think of if you've ever been on a boat, or you've been in a canoe and you came across a storm, or you hit some waves and the waves start filling your canoe up, and you're like, wow, it's about to sink, right? But you take that and you magnify it 10 times, because they're in what they call a great storm. And verse 38 says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep, talking about Jesus. And they woke him, because you got to realize these disciples, they were experienced fishermen. They were, most of them were, and they understood the dangers. It took something pretty drastic to really shake them. And they were shooken here, and enough to try to wake Jesus up. And here's Jesus. He's over there sleeping in that storm. And they say he slept on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, care thou not that we perish? Or we do you care if we die, man? And he rose, and that's Jesus, and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You see, great storm, great calm. And he said unto him, why are ye so fearful? How is that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one another, what manner of man is this? Even the wind and sea obeyed him. This is the gospel of peace. Jesus is the gospel of peace. within our storms, within our battles, within when we're waging warfare against the enemy, we have a peace inside us. And that's the Holy Spirit, that is Jesus that lives inside of us. And to realize that power that we have inside of us when we're encountering all these things in life that can rattle your boat literally and shake you to the core. And if we take that and we say, well, Jesus got this. And I know, brothers and sisters, it's hard. You know, to this day, I still struggle with when I hit certain things in my life, you know. I suffer from depression. And it can be devastating sometimes. And what I've found that helps on my really particular hard days is to give it to Jesus. A lot of prayer. He creates that peace inside me that I can breathe. And if you look at the world is increasing, depression's increasing, anxiety's increasing, suicide's rates are increasing. We're in bad shape. But if we can learn how to just tap into the peace that Jesus provides us, his children, within those moments and within life, we can withstand, we can stand against the storms, we can stand against the attacks of the enemy. Because the enemy, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He is no joke. I know a lot of people will look at Satan as a fool. They look at him like he's nothing. He is a worthy opponent. He was able to deceive Adam and Eve. And I believe Adam and Eve were probably the smartest people that ever existed on this planet. I think Albert Einstein didn't have nothing on these guys. They were pure. And they were smart. But Satan was able to deceive them. And you know why he was able to deceive them? It's because they didn't trust what Jesus told them. He told them, don't eat of that tree. You will surely die. And Satan comes in there and first thing he does, he attacks the word of God. He looks at Eve and he says, you know, you surely won't die. Jesus, you know, he's holding something from you. God's holding something. He don't want you to be like a god. You know, Eve, she starts looking at that tree and that fruit. And she starts believing that lie, that deception. And she took a bite and then she gave it to Adam. And you basically have the fall there. And everything that was perfect. They didn't have nothing to worry about. They didn't have no suffering. They didn't have no more pain. They didn't have pain. They didn't have. They were living in paradise. But when they disobeyed God's word, that's why we have the curse. That's why we have pain in this life. That's why we have suffering in this life. Is a lot of people want to point their finger at Jesus and say it's Jesus. No, we're at fault. But see, God sent his son to die for our sins, as Jesus Christ, so he could start correcting something we did. In the end, it's in the process of correcting until Jesus splits that eastern sky and comes back for his children. And he's going to correct it. It will be a paradise restored eventually one day. But for now, we have this chaos. We have these storms. We have this depression. We have this anxiety. When we tap into the peace that God provides us, in Philippians 4:7 tells us, "And the peace of God which passes all understanding," meaning all understanding, all thing that you could think of, "shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ," meaning when we can see, when we can just give it to God within that moment, he got it. He'll take care of it. And we'll have a peace. And I don't always get it right. And you know, you probably won't always get it right, because we're flesh and we're going to mess up. But when I do get it right in those moments, there's peace, man. I'm just like, it's all falling apart, but God's got it. And that's what Paul is saying here. A peace of God which passes all understanding. And when you go back to Ephesians and you look at that, the preparation of preparing yourself, you place your foot in the peace that God provides us within the storm, and we won't slip. We won't be tumbled over by what's ever coming our way. Because regardless, within the storm, we can have peace within that storm. We can have joy in that storm. Brothers and sisters, I want to be very clear today. If you are a child of God, and now I've got several sermons about salvation, and you can find them on my website, you need to make sure that you got the true message of what it means to be a child of God. Because there's a lot of stuff going around that they're not really teaching it. And there's a lot of people that think they are and they really aren't. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that with a really grievous heart. My heart hurts. And the whole point of God inspiring me to do this website is try to reach whoever may need it out there. That I may not be able to. I mean, you got 50 states in the United States. You got overseas. I mean, the internet can be a good thing in the sense of getting a message out there. But when you become a child of God, you have, I say, benefits. You have royalties, basically, and this peace is one of them. And he provides this peace for every one of his children, especially when we're going through hard things in life. I don't know, you know, what you're going through, or whoever's out there listening to this. I want to tell you, God knows and he loves you, and he wants you to be his, and that he wants to provide a peace that no one on this earth can understand. It passes all understanding. It's hard for me to describe. Literally, I'd be in a chaos mode, and I start praying to Jesus and putting myself at his feet and just crying out to him, and then suddenly it's just like, it's okay. It's okay. I got this. Just relax. Just lay there. And reading my word, pray to me, and just, I got this. Let it go. All right? If you guys will bow with me, I'm going to close out in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, I don't know who's listening to this and what they're going through, their financial situation, their marital situation, the depression, the anxiety. Maybe there's somebody out there tonight that's thinking they're done with it and they're going to end their lives. God, I hope this message reaches them, touches their heart. We pray that you intervene, do whatever you have to do to prevent them from taking their lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, that for the rest of this week, whoever's listening to this, or ones, you know what's going on in each and everyone's life, you know, through the work week, I pray that you be with me, you be with us during this week. You guide and direct our steps, that we may show the light, the glory, the peace that's inside us to this world that is in desperate need of peace, Lord. Because chaos is all around us, the darkness engulfs us, Satan screams and rips apart the very fabrics of our minds if we let him, Lord, to a point where we're just laying there hopelessly and just saying, I give up. Heavenly Father, I pray these scriptures that I read tonight, Lord, it just lodges into their hearts, and that they just read over the scripture again and again, and that they just start doing their own research and start taking the armor of God and just looking at how peace is seen throughout the Bible and how effective it is, Lord. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you, brothers and sisters, and I hope you guys have a blessed rest of the week.